Hey everyone, Chris Wan here. This is Accent Out Loud, a podcast about one person's take on English language learning, accent modification, and communication. Hey everyone, this is going to be episode 18. This time around, we're going to talk about some resources and some other things that affect your believability when you're talking about accents. So, with accents, I find that clients, people who want to gain an accent, there's something specific that they always focus on. They always focus on what sound they say versus what sound they notice other people say. So a lot of times when I work with clients who are trying to improve their English communication and they want to have or want to learn an accent similar to a general Canadian English accent, they notice, oh, I don't say that TH sound very well, or I don't say that TH sound like a native English speaker. So, for example, a Chinese Cantonese speaking English learner might go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? And the idea behind it is, oh, they don't have the TH in Cantonese. So when they say 1, 2, 3, they use a sound that's very, very close to TH in their repertoire. And the closest sound that they have is more like an S sound. They don't have that th sound. So they do what they think is about as close as they can get, and you get 1, 2, 3. And when I talk to them and sort of say, what differences do you notice? What differences are, what do you find is different from your English communication to the native English speakers? There's a tendency to focus on specifically, I don't have this sound, I don't have that sound. And yes, in part, that is contributory to miscommunications and things like that, but there is, and humans in general are very good at picking up context. So if I said even the way that I say it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you still understand that I'm saying the word three. It's not like that fully blew you out of the water. You didn't pay attention. You had no idea what I was saying. And it's because of the context. You hear that I'm counting. You hear 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. And your brain makes the logical conclusion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 3 represents 3. So there's a lot of good context, contextualization that happens when you're saying words that are relevant. And that helps your brain narrow down what the potential word that you were actually trying to say is. Even now, let's say, for example, the voiced TH sound. A Chinese Cantonese speaker might say, replace it with a D, which is close to what they want. So then they might say, there was a toy in the store, right? There was, instead of there was. You can still hear there was, there was. And the idea behind that is you can still tell. You can still tell the context. You can still understand. So it's not just a matter of they're not saying the right sounds. There's also an underlying tone when you Google, when you look at accents, of vocabulary, of slang. And a lot of times you can look on Instagram, you can look on Google, any sort of comparison of different English accents, and you might realize in a specific location it's referred to as one word, and another location it's referred to as another. So for example, British English, they might call sneakers trainers, and in American English it's referred to as sneakers. So part of it is the local areas slang or their local areas vocabulary for representing certain things. So miscommunications can happen if I suddenly move to London, England, and I keep asking somebody, do you know where the sneaker shop is, or do you know where I can buy some sneakers? And they might not be as familiar with that word. They might refer to them as trainers, so they have no idea what I'm talking about. So when you're learning, maybe you went to the UK to study English, and you try to apply the slang or the terminology that you used there in Canada, then you might have a different response or a different understanding or a miscommunication. Some words that I have no idea, even though I am an English speaker, in Australian English are some of the slangs that they talk about, like Macca's for McDonald's, brekkie for breakfast, knackered is one for UK British English for tired or exhausted. And so the slang and your development or your learning of that slang really helps you immerse yourself more easily into and know what people are talking about in your local area. Because when you're learning school in, or when you're learning English in school, things like how's it going, that might not be something that comes up in a institutionalized setting. If you said sup, maybe that might not come up in an institutionalized setting either. So the idea is immersing yourself, learning the local slang is going to be helpful. Another thing that's helpful is a website called forvo.com, forvo.com, and it's a pronunciation dictionary or pronunciation database, doesn't matter. But the point is that you can search for a word and hear different pronunciations of that word. The different users will identify which country they're from. Are they from the United States? Are they from the UK somewhere? Thus far, I've only really seen it vaguely mentioned as UK. Or are they from Australia or somewhere else? So I think it's another good example of what you should be doing when you are learning and dedicating yourself to the craft of developing an English accent. So let's say, for example, you throughout your day are working, you notice certain words that you say differently compared to your colleagues or compared to your clients. And maybe there's a certain miscommunication that occurs throughout that day that where you have to repeat yourself, you have to spell it out, you feel embarrassed, whatever. Make note of that. Use that as a learning opportunity. Keep your phone, write it in your notes page or your notes app, and review it later. You can go to forvo.com later in the day once you're ready and search that word, see how other people are pronouncing it. The whole point is to be more systematically in control and have a sense of control over how to improve, how to attack learning an accent, and how to develop your skills in doing so. So one of the words that might be interesting is the word fast, F-A-S-T. So for a general American, a general Canadian English accent, you're going to get fast, but maybe a more British accent, you're going to get more of a fast. So we can do a few different examples. There's
fast.
And those were all different pronunciations from males in the United States. Now we'll check out some British one pronunciations.
Fast.
But you can see how it's very different from fast. We also have someone from Australia pronounce it.
Fast.
So even between two Australians, you can hear a difference in the way that they pronounce the word.
Fast.
Which is, it's an interesting thing to think about. But the whole point is you're you're getting more accustomed to and acclimatizing yourself to your local area, because that's going to help you be understood more easily to that local area. Another word or another way that you can use the website forvo.com is, let's say you really want the same accent as somebody or a user, a specific user on this website, you can actually click their name and you can follow along and see all the different words that they use and sort of develop and practice your pronunciation and your anticipated pronunciation of certain words based on the general rules that you learn. So, for example, let's say as a sweeping example, all a sounds in Canadian English, in American English, become more of a ah sound in British English. I'm going to try and predict then, so let words like fast become fast. So now I've got to think, what are some other words that are going to happen or be pronounced that are similar? So if you apply that mentality towards fast, fast, you can think of other words and predict other words that should fall in line with that pattern. So like broadcast, that asked, similar to fast, I would guess is more broadcast. And you can actually listen to and get that real time or that immediate feedback.
Broadcast.
Instead of broadcast. Let's think of another word that has that a sound. Gas might be more of a gas.
Gas.
Oh, no. I guess it is gas. And there are certain situations when you have differences. You have different expectations than what actually comes out, but at least you have some feedback on it to expand your understanding of when the rule applies or when your predictions are accurate versus when they're not accurate. But the point being is that you have more and more and more and more exposure to British English, and what that does is that helps you better prepare and better predict what and how a British person might speak so that you can mimic that a bit better. Anyways, I think that's about it this time around. I know it's a bit shorter podcast this time. See you in the next one. If you like what you're hearing, or even if you aren't, let me know. I know this podcast can be something great and educational for a lot of people. I'm here to listen, so give me your take, your likes, your dislikes, and maybe we can make this into something that'll help a lot of people. Leave a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Once I figure out how to read the reviews, I'm sure it'll help.